pray for my brother Gary. Love you, brother. I bless you. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Surely thank the Lord for that humble prayer and the prayers of each of you as we come before you. I believe you know how much I need the Lord, and I believe you're looking to the Lord on my behalf, interceding, asking God to bless the meeting tonight with His manifest presence. We surely, surely need the Lord in order to be able to preach the gospel. And that is my desire tonight, is to share with you the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, and that it might comfort and edify and strengthen you as God's little children that have met here tonight. The Lord knows, as Brother Mike asked the Lord to bless us with the words that would be from Him, the Lord knows tonight just what we need, doesn't He? The Lord doesn't have to even hear from us in prayer to know what we need. But He gives us a sweet blessing and a sweet privilege to be able to come to Him and look to Him and ask Him for the things that we truly stand in need of. And I certainly feel that need tonight as I stand before you. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like to call your attention to the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. I want to begin reading tonight in verse 4, and we want to read down through verse 13. I also have another text on my mind, and I don't know exactly which way I may be led tonight, but I'd like to look, if the Lord would bless us also, at a portion of Scripture found in the book of Isaiah. So we'll read this first in your hearing. And then, the best I know how, I want to follow the leadership of the Lord. You just pray that I'll do that. If I do that, it'll be all right tonight. If the Lord leads, whatever comes out will be all right, to be pleasing unto the Lord. And if that's not the case, I hope we'll just, in reading these verses, we know we're on good solid ground, and then we'll close out real quick if we don't feel the Lord's leading. But I believe if we look to the Lord, He will bless us and He will supply what we need. So you just pray for me. But I don't want to just go through the motions. I want us to really recognize how much it's so important as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ meets that we remember our great need of having the Savior manifest in our presence. He is everywhere present. He's nowhere absent. He was here before we got here in this building. He was with us wherever we were, and He continues to be with us. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere present, nowhere absent. But what a blessing it is when, as Brother Mike says, when we can feel Him. When we can know that He's with us, when He's with us in our church meeting, when He's with us in our ride to the church and a wide ride away from the church, when He's with us in our homes, when He's with us throughout the week, when we can feel His presence. And one of the things we want to remind us all of tonight is that whether we feel Him or not, He always is present. And when we can't feel Him, we need to come back to the Word of God and be reminded that the Lord is present, and then look for Him. And if we can't find Him, we ought to be looking and praying, Lord, help me. And what will the Lord do if we ask Him for a good thing? He'll give us the good thing that we're asking Him for. If we ask Him according to His will, He'll give it according to His will. If we ask the Lord, if we seek, if we knock, the promise is if you ask, it'll be given to you. If you seek, you shall find. If you knock, it'll be open to you. That is, as we ask things that are in accord with His will, things that are good for us, things that are pleasing to God, and as we ask in alignment to the very will of God. And that's a great promise tonight. And all of these verses, both in Isaiah 12 as well as here, will attest to all of that. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always," and again I say rejoice. This is the writings of the Apostle Paul into the church at Philippi. He says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheth me." Read correctly, that's verses 4 through 13 in Philippians chapter 4. If you look over in Isaiah chapter 12, we see a prophecy given by the prophet Isaiah concerning the Lord's church and concerning the blessings of the church. Even, I believe, the blessings that we are enjoying tonight are covered here and prophesied here by the prophet Isaiah. If you read chapter 11, you'll see that so much of chapter 11 is talking about the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the day in which the Lord would come. And Isaiah the prophet was prophesying during the old law service and during the old end of the old covenant. And he was talking about the time of the new covenant, the time of the gospel age, the time of the gospel dispensation that would be ushered in with the coming of the Messiah, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful tonight to know that the one that had been promised in the Old Testament has come? They looked for his coming. They talked about his coming. They prophesied of his coming. But tonight, we're not looking forward to that. We're looking for his second coming, but we're so thankful tonight that he has already come. And he did exactly what every type and shadow of the law said that he would do, and he fulfilled the law to a jot and to a tittle. He dotted every I, crossed every T. He fulfilled that which was required of him as a mediator, as a savior, and he didn't do it part of the way. He did it excellently. He didn't have any flaws in it, anything where he fell short. He came to do that which the Father sent him to do, and that, in a nutshell, was to save his people from their sins. And that's exactly what Jesus did. And he offered himself. First of all, he had to become that sacrifice, and he was that sacrifice. He took upon himself a body of flesh, and he had to be perfect. He walked perfectly for a period of time in his life. He was born without sin, and there was no sin in him. And when he went to the cross, the only sin that was there on the cross was our sins that had been taken off of us and placed upon him. And that's what he suffered and bled and died for, so that our sins would be removed far from us. And here tonight, we're blessed to come and talk about it. We're blessed to think about it. We're blessed to point out what he did, how he did it, how wonderful he did it, how perfectly he did it. Oh, what a great God that he is. And the more that we talk about it, the more joy that you and I ought to feel. And in other words, when he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always," and again I say rejoice, he doesn't tell us just to be happy for no reason. He doesn't tell us that there's no reason, just be happy, just get over it. Don't worry about anything, just be happy. He tells us that there's every reason tonight for you and I as God's little children to be thankful, to be joyous, because we had a Savior who did exactly what the Father sent Him to do. He didn't do it part of the way. He did it with excellency. He was an excellent sacrifice. He was an excellent Savior. He's an excellent example. When he offered Himself, He was an excellent high priest. And when He was that sacrifice, He was the excellent sacrifice that was so excellent that God in heaven, the Father, accepted that sacrifice, received it, and now that payment that we would have owed has been taken off of us. It's been placed on Him, and it's never to be remembered against us anymore. That ought to make you happy tonight, to know that when I die, I won't have to face an angry God who would look at me in His wrath and in His justice and cast me eternally away from Him in a place of torment. If it had been just on me and what I had done, and you and what you had done, all of us being sinners and born in sin, shaping in iniquity, even coming forth from the womb speaking lies, which really means our first actual thoughts, our first actual things. You know, people talk about that which you're accountable for, and they come up with all these ideas that little ones aren't really accountable or responsible until they reach a certain age. Well, I know this, we are sinners by practice because we're sinners by nature, and we were born in sin, we were shaped in iniquity, and being in that state, we were in a state of death and trespasses and in sins, and without any hope of fixing it or remedying it, without it being done for us. And we needed an excellent sacrifice, we needed an excellent Savior, and what I'm saying to you tonight is that our Savior isn't a part of the way Savior, hope to be Savior, but He is a complete Savior, and He did everything He did well. We sing that hymn, right? It's from the Word of God. Jesus has done all things well. Now, tonight, you might hear a lot of people talking about Jesus who did all He could do but couldn't get it done. That's not doing all things well. You might hear of a Jesus who wants to do something for you, but if you don't help Him, if you don't let Him, if you don't first make the first move, He can't do any more. That's not an excellent Savior. That's a Savior who wants to do something He can't do. That's not our Savior. Our Savior has saved His people from their sins. He came to do that, and He is today exalted. He is seated on the right hand of the Father in heaven today as our representative, making it just as sure for us to be there as He's there. He is there in person, in His bodily flesh, a resurrected Savior, which puts the stamp on it that when the day comes for us to go to be with the Lord, every one of us will be resurrected in our body. It'll be changed and made in fashion like unto the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there'll be a reuniting of the soul and the spirit and the body. And those who haven't yet died, all of that's going to happen just in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. You're going to be changed and going to be with the Lord and forever be with the Lord. And that's not maybe so, might be. It's because we have an excellent Savior. I don't want to preach any other kind of Savior, because to do so would not be to be declared the truth. And listen, we're to rejoice tonight, but we're not to just rejoice and be happy just to be happy. You know, don't worry, be happy is a song that a lot of people sing in this world. But if there's no excellent Savior, there's a reason to worry. If there's not someone who stands between me and a holy and a righteous God, me being a sinner, if there's not someone who takes away my sin, if there's not someone who's paid the sin debt, then I would be afraid to die and approach and face a God who is justly angry with me because I've sinned and come short of His glory. God didn't mess up in the garden. Adam messed up. And we were right there in Adam. We can't just say Adam did it and that's all Adam's fault. If it had been us, Do we think for a moment, are we so full of pride that we would think for a moment, if I'd have been there rather than Adam, I'd have done a whole lot better than Adam? Or if I'd have been there with Eve, I'd have done a lot better than Eve. Does pride have us to that a point? I hope not. I hope we understand that Adam, as our representative, yes, he fell into a state of death in trespasses and in sins, and death passed upon all men, for we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can't blame anyone else. We are the reason we're in trouble. But the good news, listen, that wouldn't be anything to be joyful about tonight, but I've got some things in the Word of God that we can share tonight that will help us when you're in trouble in this world, when you have problems in this world, when you feel like the world is flowing in and you feel like your ship is about to sink, like the disciples on the Sea of Galilee as they were walking in obedience to what the Lord told them to do, and they were out there and the ship was filling up with water. Sometimes in our lives we feel like our ship is filling up with water. And it's like it's about to go down. And it seems like our Savior's asleep. And when we look, we see Him asleep. That's what they did. And listen, it's not that He wasn't aware of what was going on. He was in complete control. His sleep shows us that He had everything under control right then already. And when they came crying to Him, He said, "Why are you so fearful? Do you feel that sometimes?" And ask yourself that question. Why am I so afraid? Why am I so fearful? When the One who has told me to get on the ship is right here in the ship with me. The One who made every drop of water in the Sea of Galilee and all over this world is right here with me. There wasn't a storm. There wasn't a thing in this world or outside of this world that could have sunk that ship. Because the Holy God of Israel was right there on that ship. God made manifest in the flesh. Yes, He was the Son of Man, but He was also the Son of God. We believe that tonight, right? That's who He is. And that He's an excellent Savior. And that when He looked at that angry, those waves, and He saw all that truth sea, all the disciples could do was just shake and quake and say, "Lord, don't You care? Don't You care that we perish?" First of all, they weren't about to perish, but they thought they were. You ever get there? Well, you feel like this is it. This one's going to get me. This one's big enough, it's going to get my family. This one's, and the old devil will always come and tell you, this one's going to get you. You know, this problem is going to be more than you can handle. What are you going to do when this happens? What are you going to do when that happens? You know what we can do in and of ourselves? Absolutely nothing. But in the Lord, He said here just very clearly, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." That doesn't mean all things without exception. It means all things that the Lord would have me to do, all things that He would lead me to do, all things that I need to be able to do in order to be able to act and behave as a little child of grace and not fall apart. I find myself in this world so often just falling apart. And it's good to know. We got Isaiah 12. He says, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise Thee." Isn't it good tonight just to come out and be able to say, "I will praise Thee"? No, he goes on and he says, not because I'm deserving of it. He goes on and he says, "Though thou was angry with me, thine anger is turned away." If that doesn't make you rejoice tonight, just to think His anger is turned away. How could His anger be turned away from me if I'm a sinner and you're a sinner? There's only one way. It's not by you and I getting it straight, so He's no longer angry. Listen, if we could, which we can't, walk from this point on the rest of our lives without sin, which we cannot do, because every day we live, we have this old flesh to contend with, and the Apostle Paul said, "In me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing." And so sin is going to be mixed with everything that we do in this world. That doesn't say it's okay and we can just excuse ourselves. It ought to cause us to grieve and mourn that that's the case. And we ought to be laboring as much as we can in the Lord to put off this old man with his deeds and put on the new man and walk in the things that He's leading us and looking to Him. The only way we can do that, though, is with the strength He gives us. Not in our own ability. But if we could, hypothetically, walk from this point on without any sin, which we can't do, But if we could, that wouldn't fix it. That wouldn't make it okay. That wouldn't make everything that I did yesterday okay. It wouldn't go back. I can't go back and undo all of those things. I have every reason for God and you tonight, if you think about it. We have every reason for God to be angry with us. For Him to just say, okay, that's one too many. That's one too much. And He knows everywhere we've messed up. He not only knows the little things, He knows the big things. He knows, not only knows the big things, He knows everything. He knows more about our problems than even we know. And we don't really know it until the Holy Spirit allows us to see it and know it. And tonight, if you feel that in your heart, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that the Lord has allowed you to see what the publican said, saw when he prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Rather than feeling like a Pharisee who says, oh Lord, I thank thee that I'm not like other men are. As Brother John preached this morning, he said, and he stood there and prayed with himself. And matter of fact, he just kept on talking to himself. And it's just, that's all he was talking to. He was talking to himself about himself. So many eyes in that prayer. And when your prayers are filled with eyes and eyes and eyes, and that's all that's in your prayer, watch what we're saying to the Lord. Remember this. If it was not for the grace of God, His anger would still be placed upon me. But there's a reason tonight for us to rejoice in the Lord. You know, one of the reasons is that His anger has been turned away. How is that possible that His anger was turned away? We were reconciled unto God by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He did that for us some 2,000 years ago on the tree at Mount Calvary. He paid the price, and He paid it for every one of his children and every sin of every one of His children. He knew who they were. He died for them in particular. He had chosen them even before the foundation of the world. They were foreknown, which means they were foreloved. That means He loved them, and they were chosen in love. God's love was shown to them. The reason He did for them what He did is because He first loved them. He loved them, and if you love the Lord, that's evidence tonight that He first loved you. And that love didn't start when you started loving Him. That though you would have never and I would have never loved Him had He not first loved us. But those whom He foreknew, He also did predestinate. Another reason to be joyous tonight is that He predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son. That means He prefixed our destiny to be with Christ. And there's not a thing that can change that, because a God who was excellent did it. And an excellent Savior secured it. And an excellent Holy Spirit worked a work of grace in our hearts that can't be undone. He who regenerated you gave your life. He didn't ask you if you wanted it. He gave it to you. As a matter of fact, He changed your want to. If He'd asked you, you would have said in your flesh, no, I don't want that. I'm happy where I am. And with who I am, my pride won't allow me to do that. I can't know the things of God without Him first working in me. But when He works in you, He does that which you would not want to have happen, and He makes you... In other words, He changes you want to. And if God hadn't changed as you want to, no preacher can. No mama can, no daddy can, no one praying, no more than you can take a wild Gadarene and chain him and bind him up. Satan had him in such a captivity that there was no one that could deliver him except the one who was excellent. And that one who came and said, he said, peace be still. In other words, he just kind of said to the wind, shut up. Just be quiet. And the wind, and they marveled that he had the power to do that. And it wasn't just a little while after that that he stood before a wild Gadarene who had no doubt come to do him harm. And he spoke to him. And when he got finished with him, he commanded the legion of demons to come out of him. And when he was finished with him, this crazy man who was assaulting everybody everywhere was seated and clothed. He wouldn't wear clothes before, and now he's clothed and he's seated. He wouldn't sit down. They couldn't even chain him. He'd break the chains asunder. And he's seated, and he's in his right mind, and he just wants to be with Jesus. I just want to be with Jesus. Listen, if you want to see man in his wildness, that's where he is. He's just like that wild Gadarene. Can't anybody tame him, but the Lord tames him. The Lord who spoke to the wind and caused it to cease and caused that sea just to become calm. So much that the disciples thought our boat is about to go down. He said, where is your faith? And you know, I look at them sometimes and wonder how they could do that. And then I look at my life and see how many times I'm doing the same thing. Even sometimes when I'm telling others not to do it. And I get so concerned that they won't do what I want them to do and just being okay, that I don't get okay about it. You know, so who's better off? I get upset because I can't make them feel okay. You know who can make them feel okay? It's not me. I can share the truth. Like tonight, we can preach the truth. I can present the truth. I am to teach it. But I am not the one who gets it into the little child and into the little child of grace. And if you are able to hear the Spirit of the truth tonight, it'll be by the Spirit of Almighty God. And if I'm able to preach it, it's by the Spirit of Almighty God, so that when it's all said and done, when we get through, it's not me or you that deserves any bit of the praise, but all of the glory and the honor and the praise belongs to the Lord. And that's even for our timely deliverance and a timely understanding. I pray tonight that we'll leave here feeling better. And that when we get, and I hope you didn't come in feeling bad, but I hope you'll even feel better. I hope you'll even feel more secure about heaven. I hope you'll feel more secure about the world that we're in the sense that we're not alone in this troubled world. And when you get hit with so many problems and troubles and you begin to wonder, you know, as the price of things go up and we say, well, what are we going to do if it keeps going up? Or what are we going to do if this happens or if that happens or whatever comes? Listen, whatever comes, come what may, whether it's joy or sorrow, Jesus knows and Jesus cares. And because He knows and because He cares, it's going to be well. Like the little woman in the Old Testament who lost that child. When asked, what about it? How is it with you, sister? She had just lost her child. She cried out, it is well. You know why? Because she knew the God who gave her that child could take care of the situation. And He did. He brought that little child back to life. As she went to the prophet Elisha and just said, this is what has happened. And the Lord saw fit to restore that child back to her. As Abraham, we tried to talk about that Wednesday night. Abraham was trusting God. And when he was called upon to take his son, his only son that he loved so much, Isaac, and offer him as a sacrifice and a burnt offering, he didn't stumble and bumble around about it. He got up early in the morning and went about to do what the Lord told him to do. How could Abraham do that? His only child, and was going to snuff out the life of the one who was the promised child, who out of his loins would come the Messiah. Even though he was the son of God, he was also the son of man. And if you did anything to Isaac, then how could Jesus ever be born into the world? You know what he knew? He knew that the God of heaven had the power, that if he told him to take his life, he had power to raise him up again. And he went to that place to offer that son just with that understanding. That if I burn his body up and offer him as a sacrifice, if that's the will of God and he asked me to do that, then I'll do that trusting him, knowing that the same God is so excellent that asked me to do it, that he's able to bring out of the dust of that burnt offering this child back to life. And that's why he said to those men in Genesis 22, he said, I and the lad will go to yon mountain and we'll worship and we're coming back again. He said, but Abraham, you're going to offer Isaac. How's Isaac coming back? When you offer Isaac, how's he going to come back? Because he said the promise is in Isaac. God made a promise in Isaac. And because he made the promise in Isaac, he keeps his promises. Tonight, when we read the Bible, we're reading God's promises. And God keeps his promises. Even when it looks like, I don't know how that's going to happen. Sometimes as he tested Abraham, he'll allow us to go through those trials and those tests. God's not the author of evil or sin, but God brings us through trials and tribulations that our faith might not only be tested, but proven and made to grow stronger. When you go through troubles and problems, and we go through things that are hard and difficult, He draws us closer to Him and allows us to be stronger for the next battle. And sometimes you're going to need that battle when your little children are going through it and they need a little help and they're going through a hard time. He gives you the ability to be a comfort to them because He taught you in the storm how to trust Him and how to lean upon Him. He said, in that day that thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise Thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Tonight we don't hear the angry God speaking to us. We hear the loving Father, the Savior, who though He ought to be angry with us, His anger has been turned away because He loved us so much He gave His only begotten Son. And we see that picture in Isaac and Abraham as well. And the ram that's caught in the thicket by its horns. He says, thine anger is turned away and thou comfortest me. That's what the gospel does. It comforts. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that a warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double, of the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. That means His mercy did not allow our sins to be imputed unto us, but they were taken off of us and put on Christ. And Christ paid the price on the cross, even to the point that He cried out unto the Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I heard a man one time say that was just him quoting a verse from Psalms, and it really didn't mean that God forsook him. Listen, Jesus never spoke a word that He didn't mean what he said. How could God have forsaken His only begotten Son? It was necessary that Jesus would be forsaken so that you and I, as His children that He loved, would never be forsaken. Had He not been forsaken, someone would have had to pay the price, and that price would have been paid by us, never to be paid in a place of banishment from the presence of God for all eternity. And our Savior was so excellent. He was such a wonderful Savior that He knew who they were, and He died for them, and He took their sins in His own body, and the Father placed them on His own Son. And for a moment of time there on the tree of the cross, the eyes of the Father turned away from the Son. And how that must have been. But the price was paid. And because listen, it was paid well enough that when He went to the grave, He came forth victorious from the grave. The proof is in His resurrection, that that acceptable sacrifice that was made was accepted unto God. And our sins will never be remembered against us anymore. Is that a reason for us to rejoice in the Lord always? And again, I say rejoice. I say to unite, yes. Even in the worst and the darkest of times, we have a heaven that awaits because we have a Savior that has nail prints in His hands and in His feet, and wore a crown of thorns on His head, and He was like that ram caught in a thicket, not because He couldn't get Himself out of it, but He came and gave His life freely that He might take it, and He had the power to give it, and He had the power to take it up again. We don't have a weak Savior. We have a great, wonderful Savior. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, He tells us here in Isaiah chapter 2, behold, look at this. Here's another reason. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. God is my salvation. God is my Savior. And Jesus is our Savior. And He was the Son of Man. But He wasn't just the Son of Man, was He? He was God made manifest in the flesh. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He's the Word that was with God in the beginning, who all things were made by Him. And the Word was made manifest in the flesh. And we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And a little farther down in the first chapter of John, He says, and His name was Jesus Christ. No question about who the Word was. The Lord Jesus Christ. God is my salvation. I will trust, hear those words, I will trust and be not afraid. Oh, I need to remember that all week. I will trust when I get afraid. When something happens, and it isn't if it happens. It isn't going to be with us tonight if it happens. It's when it happens. When you have that problem that arises, and you have that thing that pops up, and you wonder, how am I going to make it through this? And in our life, isn't our life filled with those situations? In this world, you'll have what? Tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He said here, behold, God is my salvation. Who is that? The little child of grace that says that. And I will trust and not be afraid. I'll trust Him for heaven. But I'll also trust Him for this week. I'll trust Him for today. I'll trust Him for every moment, every hour. I need to lean upon Him. That's how Abraham went faithfully in the will of God, doing what God told him to do. He trusted what God told him. And though he didn't understand and couldn't get it figured out, you've been there? Well, you didn't understand and couldn't get it figured out? I know God knows. And He'll take care of us. He said, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is the self-existent God. He's the eternal God. He's the God who is self-sufficient. He's the God of all mercy and the God of all grace. He's Jehovah. He is my strength. We say I don't have any strength. In ourselves, we don't. But in Him, we have strength. That's why we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. The Lord Jehovah is my strength, and He's my song. That means that's what should be coming out of our mouth. Praises unto God. And the more you sing praises unto God, I believe the more you'll feel this peace. I'm talking about in a real sense and in a real way. Not just the idea and the thought, but a real peace where you don't even understand why I'm okay. I just know I'm okay because I'm in the hands of a God who is excellent in every single way. He says that again when he says, let your moderation be known unto all men. That means God's little children ought to, and I'm back over in Philippians 4. He says, let your moderation be made known unto all men. That means you and I ought to act and behave differently. It's not just being moderate in the sense of eating too much or drinking, whatever it might be. It's talking about moderation in the sense of how we face troubles and trials and problems. Not to fall completely off the wagon, so to speak, when something hits you, but rather trust in the Lord, realizing this, the Lord's with me. The Lord is at hand. And we need to be reminded of that. He says, be careful, that is full of care for nothing. But in everything, there's something to do. He tells us first what not to do. We don't get full of care about it, but then what do we do if we don't get full of care? He says, along with what not to do, the negative comes the positive. He says, but in everything, what thing? Everything. By prayer and supplication. Prayer is when we praise God. Prayer is when we thank God. Prayer is when we acknowledge who God is and the great God that He is. Supplication is when we ask God and say, Lord, these are the things that I need. Isn't it good to be able to go to the Lord and say, Lord, these are the things that I feel that I need. I need strength for this. I need wisdom for this. I need help with this. And it could be something that others might say, well, that's a little thing to take to God. Listen, everything to God is a little thing. We take our big things to God and the little things, and all of them to Him are just little. Is there anything, Abraham said to Sarah, is there anything too hard for God? A little Isaac was born just to prove that there wasn't anything. And out of Isaac came a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And that Savior did what the Father sent Him to do in saving His people from their sins. And if He gave His only begotten Son for us, if He loved us that much, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? That's the promise of God. He says we can ask with everything by prayer and supplication. And then he says, with thanksgiving. Oh, let's remember how good He's been. I think about all the things we've been through in different circumstances. The Lord's been right with us, hasn't He? He's taken care of us. He's watched over us. Down through the years, my mind can be filled up real quick with all the times that I felt like, oh, this is going to be just more than I can handle. And the Lord gave us strength for the storm and for the trial and for the problem. And I know there's more probably trials and problems ahead than we've had in the past, but God is just as able today as He's always been, and we're looking to a God who cannot fail, so we can have peace tonight about where we are. I hope you're feeling it. Hope it's in your heart. He says, don't be full of care for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Let's thank the Lord for how good He's been to us. The Lord has been so good to me. I want to praise His name. That's a song of thanksgiving. He says, let your request be made known unto God. Not that God needs us to say it in order for Him to know it. That's not for God. This is for us. It's that we might know that He knows it. That we might be assured that He knows it, even though He already knows it. When we talk to Him, He's pleased when His little children call upon Him. And He blesses us when we call upon Him. Well, sweet hour of prayer, the hymn writer wrote. What a blessing it is to be able to talk to the Lord and to spend some time with the Lord and petition Him. I have experienced things even this week that were worrying me and troubling me to a point that I just thought I was going to lose my mind, it seemed like. And I was so wrapped up in them. And I thought, oh, how are we going to get this figured out and that figured out? And I found a great peace in my own experience, in just going to the Lord and leaving those things in God's hands. And you know, a lot of those things have even, they're straightened up. The things I was thinking were going to happen didn't happen. The things I thought were good, were probably this is going to come, didn't come. Some of the problems that I was facing, I wondered, how am I going to fix that? I didn't have to fix it all. All I needed to do is what I should have done in the beginning of that and gone to the Lord and left it in the Lord's hands. This is not just something you read on a card that sounds nice to make you feel better on a Sunday night. It's something we're to take and put into place in our lives as we go. And I don't know what's coming in your life this week other than this. You're going to have more to handle than you can handle. But your God is there for you. And I say that from the promises given in God's Word. And when you and I approach Him and we're not so full of care and we are in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, letting our requests be made known unto God, there's a promise that comes with that, that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, meaning you don't have to know how He's going to do it. He will do it because He said He would, and His promises always come true. The peace of God which passes all understanding, get this, shall keep. Not maybe keep. It shall keep your hearts. Your hearts are your thoughts and your feelings. And that's where we really get attacked. Our thoughts and our feelings. I've never heard so much news about folks just being so down and depressed. Some even to the point that they take their own life. Young people getting so discouraged and down and depressed. No doubt feeling overwhelmed, like there's no help and there's no hope. Somebody would say, but I don't believe God's little children can get like that. Listen, the Bible says we get like that. When my heart is overwhelmed. Who said that? David had said that. When my heart is overwhelmed. In Psalm 61, I believe he says that. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Whose heart was overwhelmed? David, but he knew where to go. He said, lead me. Where? To the rock that is higher than I. When my heart gets overwhelmed, when my thoughts and my feelings get overwhelmed, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And that rock is Christ. And when I come to Christ, then I have the peace of God. You feel the peace of God. Talked to a brother and sister tonight that said they felt the peace of God that had been with them, even though they'd had the circumstances that maybe at one time would have gotten you in a lot, it would have overwhelmed your heart. You felt the peace of, thank God that you felt the peace of God, that you didn't feel overwhelmed. And oh, I tell you, it's easy to get overwhelmed. All you have to do is listen to the news for a little while. And you can get overwhelmed with everything and all the way that it's going and wonder how we're going to make it. Well, has God changed? Has He gone to sleep? Is he slumbering? Is he left? Things in our control? No, it's in God's hands. And tonight, we can pray about it. He didn't say don't do anything, just feel better. He said pray. That's what we're to do. We're to pray. Leave it in the Lord's hands. Don't be full of care about it. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, you don't have to understand how. It shall keep your hearts. That is, your thoughts and your feelings. And not only your hearts, but your mind. It'll keep your mind as well. It'll keep your hearts and minds. Your mind is how you perceive it to be. What you perceive to be. And in that perception, a lot of times, so misguided. What did the disciples say? Lord, don't you care that we perish? You know what was wrong with them? They had a misperception. They didn't understand that God was in control the whole time. Nothing could have taken that ship down. They were just working hard to no avail. And the Lord showed them and changed their mind by showing them what power that He had, that I can just speak and calm this sea. I can do that. He also proved on another occasion that He doesn't have to calm the sea. He can just walk right out on the water, right on the troubled water. Isn't it good to know that we have a God who does it His way, not our way? And His way is always the right way and the best way. He says it'll keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Back over to Isaiah 12, he says there that the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. We have, by the grace of God, the ability by faith to go to the Lord for the grace that we stand in need of. That's what we do when we ask Him for the things that we stand in need of. Lord, help me. Lord, strengthen me. When you feel discouraged, you've got the wells of salvation, which is really God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that we can go to and say, Lord, help me. Lord, strengthen me. And we can draw water, that is grace, by faith that He's given us. We can draw water, and we can do it with joy, knowing God's going to take care of us. I don't have to understand why. He told me that in the book of Philippians, that I don't need to understand it all. And He says, and in that day shall they say, praise the Lord. That's what we said tonight. Call upon His name. Declare His doings among the people. Make mention that His name is exalted. Tonight I want to make mention that His name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for He hath done, here's that word, excellent things. I believe this is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that He did. When He walked in this world, He walked perfectly. Everything He did well. Excellent. He was a perfect mediator. He was a perfect prophet. He was a perfect priest. He was a perfect king. He's a perfect Savior. For He had done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. And He says, cry and shout. This is what we ought to do tonight. Cry out. And shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. That's talking about those who are in the Lord's church and in His kingdom. We have every reason tonight to be so thankful, rejoicing in the Lord. For great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. And have we not seen that? Has He not been with us? Going back over to Philippians, apologize for going, going back and forth. He says in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, those things, or if there be any praise, those things, think on these things. I see this all summed up as just the gospel message of Jesus Christ, God the Father who sent His Son, Jesus who came, willingly obedient to the will of the Father and did what the Father gave Him to do in saving His people and the work of the Holy Spirit and shedding the love of God abroad in our hearts and all that He's done and the gospel message that declares that. That's all those things that are true, that are honest, that are just, that are pure, that are lovely, that are of good report, that show virtue and also show praise. Those things, we're to think on those things. And here's the promise. Those things which you have both learned, the gospel that we've learned and received, we've embraced it and heard and seen in me, Now our charge is to do them. And the God of peace shall be with you. And if we can feel His manifest presence, it's okay with us. Whatever the storm, whatever the problem. Going down to verse 13, and we'll close with that. I want to get verse 12 real quick. He says, I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Brother Paul is telling us here, there have been times in my life where I was really brought low. And he says, there's other times in my life where I've been really up on the mountaintop. Can we say that? There have been some times we were just up so much we never thought we'd come down. And then there are other times we've been so low we felt like we couldn't make it. You know, God was the same in both places. He's the God of the valley and He's the God of the mountains. And the Apostle Paul said, in both of those places, I can do whatever the Lord would have me to do because He strengthened me. He's not bragging on Himself. He's not saying I did it. He's saying God strengthened me and allowed me to know how to be abased. In other words, when it's hard and difficult, God's giving me strength to know how to do that. When everything's going well, God's giving me the strength not to get too lifted up about all that, but just to be trusting in the Lord and thankful unto Him. He went on to say that in everywhere and in all things I am instructed. Who instructed him? The Lord. He says, both to be full and to be hungry. In other words, I've been full and I've been hungry. But you know, the Lord didn't change in either circumstance. God was still the same. He was still my joy. He's still my peace. He's my rest. Whether I'm full or whether I'm hungry. If I'm full, it's by the grace of God that I'm full. And if I'm hungry, it's God who I'm looking to feed me. And I'm dependent upon the Lord. He says, both to abound and to suffer need. That means going to be in sometimes in our life when we're abounding. There are going to be other times when we're suffering need. How do we get through all those times and still be moderate, not so up and down? He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. I hope that makes some sense. If it does, give God the praise and the honor and the glory for that. And I appreciate your kind attention tonight. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.
Number 40.
Number 40. 40.